Bring to you grace and peace from God our Father through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message, the basis for my sermon, is from John chapter 3. And as we come to this word, let's bow our hearts, our heads in prayer. We are your possession, O God, claimed in Christ, through Christ, to be yours for all eternity. Heavenly Father, grant us grace to accept that new identity we find in Christ, given to us through holy baptism, sealed in the Word and Holy Communion. Give us faith, O God, that we may put aside all other forms and grounds for identifying ourselves except for that which is most true. You have called us your children. In Jesus' name, amen. If in your heart and your mind, I would ask you to fill in the blank that comes after these two words, what would you say? I am, fill in the blank. Whatever you just said, let me take another pass at this. I am, fill in the blank, but with something different than you just said. Let's take one more pass at it, shall we? I mean, not to be, you know, putting this too far as the sermon introduction, but I am, now fill in the blank again. Something different this time than from the first two. Okay, this is not how you start a sermon. One more time, just for the sake of illustration, I am, different from the other three, fill in the blank. Now, the lesson in this experience is that there are so many nouns and adjectives that we can use to fill in the predicate part of that statement, I am blank. You might say, I am an American. I am a baby boomer. I am someone who served in the U.S. military. I am a veteran. I am a Gen X, a millennial. I am from Kirkwood, or Crestwood, or Ladue, or way out in St. Charles. I am a Seidler. You won't say that, of course. I will. And it reminds me of that day that I walked into my high school on the first day of high school, and Principal Schoedi said, I think I've shared this story with you, but it's always an anchor for me. Principal Schoedi said, are you the last Seidler? I had five other brothers and sisters, the two brothers being the more operative illustration point right now. And I was a little guy, and I said, well, yeah, I am the last Seidler, Principal Schoedi. The look of relief on his face as the last Seidler walked through the doors, he knew his retirement was going to land smoothly only 4 years later. You see, we use that phrase, that powerful phrase, I am blank, repeatedly. We don't know exactly how it's going to pop up. You might say to your spouse after a long day at work, if they would only understand, I am right, they are not. Ooh, that's powerful. If they would only acknowledge in your life, look, I am the detail person. They're the big picture people. The power and potential of all the ways we fill in that blank is so significant. It's so significant in our culture right now, because right now, this is true. Our culture is defined by the tribes to which you attach yourself. I am a Midwesterner. I am a Republican. I am that kind of Republican, but not that kind of Republican. I'm that kind of Democrat, but not that kind of Democrat, to keep it fair and balanced in this room. I am, I am, I am. We say it all the time. But like I learned the other day, when I went out boating with my brother-in-law and sister-in-law up on Mark Twain Lake, we got to this little cove where a whole bunch of boats kind of settle into the calm little cove-like area that is there, and you can put out this thing called a lily pad, and you can lounge around and just hang out in this cove with all the other people, just having a fine, fine Sunday afternoon. But before you can do that, you've got to put down the anchor, which I figured is just like, Dave, you're a boater, I figured you just throw out the anchor and you call it good. But you don't just call it good if you're a boater. You got to make sure that the anchor is not just kind of mired in the muck and gunk. You've got to actually ensure that the anchor is tethered to something, which is fine at the beginning. But then finally, when you decide to pull up the anchor and have the boat leave the cove, something critical has to be done. You have to detach the anchor from whatever it is anchored to. And to do that is not always easy. Sometimes the anchor is just anchored to a small little tiny rock. Sometimes it's anchored to something much more that lurks beneath. And if you're not careful, it takes a long time to untether yourself to this big item that is holding that anchor in place. And you've got to move the boat around and you've got to pull and let the anchor go slack and pull. And it can take several minutes, if not longer, in order to untether yourself to whatever you have anchored yourself to. My brothers and sisters in Christ, the I am statements of our lives anchor us deeply in dark waters. And this sermon series is about taking stock of the power and potential of where we placed the anchor of our identity. Because if we're not careful, we're going to come up at the end of our lives and realize, certainly when we finally step before the throne of God at that day of judgment, we have anchored ourselves to deficient things. And let me just say this by way of clear articulation, statement. Whenever you anchor yourself to anything that is of this world, you are always anchoring yourself to something that in some way is deficient to the glory of God. Whenever we use, any of us use, an I am statement in this life, and that end of the I am statement is something that is constructed in the manufacture of this world, it is without question, in some way, deficient of the glory of God. And that is sin we do not want. That shackles us to death that lurks deeply and darkly beneath the surface of the mere words we may use. Over the course of these next several weeks, we're going to confront head on the deficiency of I am from this place. We're going to confront head on the deficiency of I am this orientation, hetero, homo, or anything else you want to put in place. We're going to confront head on the deficiency of I am a citizen of this country. I am this political leaning. I am this gender. I am anything you want to put at the end of the statement. We're going to confront head on the deficiency that is inherent in any of those statements so that the glory of God may be revealed more fully among us. That the purpose for the coming of Jesus Christ to anchor and tether us to the one true God of heaven and earth may be realized in and among us. So that in John chapter 3, we can embrace those words at the bottom of page 4 when John says, John the Baptizer, he must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. Now, to be fair, John is talking about the function of ministry here. He's saying, I'm the forerunner of Christ, I'm the last prophet before the Messiah comes, and my ministry of preparation must decrease so that his ministry of salvation may increase. Fair enough. That's the essential thrust of the text. But John realizes as well that there is a cult of personality centered in this man dressed in garments of camel hair and eating locusts sweetened with a little wild honey. He realizes there's a cult of personality that is gathered around him. And when he says, I must become less, it's not just about the function of his ministry, technically speaking. But it's also the stature of his person. His identity in this world that has accrued and increased over time as the weird guy down by the river. That must become less. His identity accrued over the career that he has had through the course of his lifetime. It must become less so that the person, not just the work of ministry, but the person of the second person of the Trinity, the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God, so that can become greater. So that all the world may know that this Jesus, this man from Nazareth, in his person, as much as in his work, is the salvation of humankind. So that when all is said and done, whether you are rich or whether you are poor, whether you are blind or leprous or lame, whether you are a Pharisee, a Sadducee, a chief priest, a teacher of the law, whether you are outside as a Samaritan or inside as a Hebraic Jew of Abraham's lineage, regardless of who you are, all of those predicates of your I am statements, all of those markers of your identity may be superseded by a greater call, may be overridden by a higher sense of being. And that you may, at the beginning and end of every day, may say as we sang, I am baptized, I am a child of God. And as some have said in other sermons, I just happen to be American, an Argentinian, a Republican, a Democrat, from this location, that location, or any other identity marker. That what is the anchor from which, God willing, we never get extracted. I am baptized. I am a child of God. Today we talk about your identity. And we ensure today that as we begin this conversation and we go deeper into various expressions of it in our culture, in this present confused and confusing moment, that we start with our firm foundation, which is Jesus and the faith the Holy Spirit calls out of us, puts into us, and leads us to that day when we say, I am home. Amen, I belong to you.